Ron Hall, VP of Equipment and Fuel, has an equipment update he'd like to share. Ron.
Thanks, Zach. I'm excited to announce that we have a new and much more evolved relationship with International. We have just purchased 150 new International LTs with the new Scania S13 13-liter engine. That's an engine that's been proven in Europe, and International has brought that engine to the U.S. It's got the same horsepower and torque ratings as our 15-liter Freightliners, but it runs up to an extra mile per gallon on fuel economy. So it's really efficient. And to make sure our drivers are comfortable in these trucks, we've up-spec'd these 150 trucks. They come with built-in fridges, built-in inverters, and optimized idle. So we're excited about adding this new spec to our fleet, and excited about driver involvement in giving us feedback on how they work.
Well, yeah, exciting. And man, they've come a long way. It's going to be, I think the drivers will be pleasantly surprised with these new International trucks.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Ron. Darren, let's go back to you for some road team updates.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Just a couple of things. As we mentioned in the July safety video, we do have a new, actually retread email address for the road team. Just wanted to call that out to everybody again. It's team@creroadteam.com. And we also have a new hotline number. It's 801-610-WAMA. I got to give Tyler, our new driver relations manager, credit for that. Tyler, what does WAMA stand for?
Walk around and maintain awareness.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's 801-610-9262, but if you want to call it WAMA, you can do that too. 801-610-WAMA. So if you need help, we've got the road team drivers on the hotline 24/7. That also goes to Tyler. So give us a ring if you need some help, and we hope to hear from you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate your and Tyler's leadership with the road team, and exciting stuff there. Continues with the captains moving forward, the road team captains. Okay, let's go to Kirk, our president of truckload services, Kirk Freemuth, who, by the way, hosted me on the July safety video. He did a great job, although he says he's got a face for radio. I don't think so. I think he just nailed it. Kirk, go ahead and give us an update on dedicated growth.
Thanks, Zach. So I'll let the last comment slide for now. Let's get into growth opportunities. So pretty exciting on the dedicated side. We do have, speaking of chocolate, we have a special project starting up, and it's now permanent in Baltimore, Maryland. Some of you may know we did a test pilot out of Pennsylvania for a year and a half, 2 years, on a chocolate distribution for the Walmart stores. Well, that test pilot went so well, which was a 14-truck, for the most part, 14-truck operation, has now moved to its own building, an official building based out of Baltimore. And that fleet is now in the process of growing up to 77 trucks. And it may go beyond that. But for right now, we know it'll be at least 77 trucks. So between now and September, it will continue to grow that way. The footprint is going to be basically between Pennsylvania, Southern New York, ultimately down into the Carolinas.
So if your domicile locations, that footprint, right?
We will be able to, yes, not have to have
Baltimore.
You living in Baltimore. So if you live in Baltimore, that's fine too. But if you live in that footprint, the opportunity will be there. So any of you on the East Coast, I-95, that you are interested in that. So very similar to the other Walmart business in that it's coming out of a distribution center doing store delivery, but it's candy. It's specifically chocolate and candy products that will be going into those stores. So excellent opportunity. If any of you are interested in that, get with the recruiting side, and we'll certainly help you out there. We also have some other opportunities with existing business that has grown for teams. So if you are Utah-based or Idaho-based or want to live in Utah or live in the Nampa, Idaho area, we have new team business starting up there. So if you want to become a team or you know someone or you're already a team, those opportunities present themselves. So it is the one in Utah is auto leave. It's teams to the Midwest, the Ohio area, and back every week, just fast as you can go kind of a situation. And out of Nampa, Idaho, it's going into the Northeast and back into Idaho as well. So basically scheduled, home every week, but high miles. So great team opportunity there. We also have a number of opportunities scattered around the country. So depending on what you're doing, you're going to move, life changes, whatever that looks like, get with recruiting to see what is available, because we have an awful lot of open spots right now across dedicated as well. So thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Kirk. Exciting stuff there. Next, let's go to Danielle Smithen, who's a director in IT. She has an update on some DriveWise things that have been going on. Danielle?
Hi, everyone. A lot of you may be aware of what's been happening with the DriveWise application on the Platform Science tablets, specifically the issue where there's no pop-up notification or no audible alert sometimes for some of your stations. Both Fleetworthy and Platform Science are aware of the issue, and they've been working very closely together to resolve this issue. As of our last report from Platform Science, the no alert issues were returning to a more normal, acceptable level, essentially what we had before all of this started with DriveWise's last release. But if you are still experiencing issues with the DriveWise app, please call the Platform Science driver service line, 888-253-0999. And report that to them so that they can take a look at your specific tablet and see what might still be causing it. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Danielle. Appreciate that. And last but not least, before we get to Q&A, let's have Aaron Shepard, our VP of Safety, share a few safe and on-time thoughts. Shep?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jack. And hey, thanks all the drivers for calling in. This last week, I had the opportunity to take a little road trip with some friends and family to do some fishing and traversed across I-80 in Utah and Wyoming. And it was alarming in just how much unsafe, even potentially dangerous trucking activity I witnessed. And in talking to my family about what it takes to be a safe driver, you know, we witnessed a couple of drivers using handheld devices while we were driving. You could just see it right in their windows. We also saw just a ton of tailgating. It's crazy how commonplace it was. And, you know, some other examples, we saw some aggressive ramp behavior, even saw some faulty equipment. The good news is we saw several Sierra England trucks, and they were all driving in a fashion that made me extremely proud. I think we have some of the best drivers in the country. I think the data shows that. That said, the reason I tell this story is I think it's really easy to assimilate to your surroundings. If you're watching drivers tailgate or get within a couple of seconds all day long when you share the freeway with them, just be very vigilant to not get sucked in and drive like the rest of the crowd, because tailgating is dangerous. Aggressive ramp behavior, going fast down grades, that's dangerous behavior. But when you see it and you see a driver not have an accident, the guy next to you, don't get sucked in or have it be tempting to not follow that. Being a safe driver actually takes a lot of intention. And if you want to be the best, you can't just follow the crowd. So that's why I tell that story. That's my plea. When we do this call today, we did this a few months ago. I would love it if everyone would share their favorite safety tip or a safety tip that would be valuable to the rest of the people on this call. And before they get into their question, I think it just helps with our safety culture. It's one of my favorite parts about our Million Miler celebrations is the safety tips that we get from our drivers. They're just amazing. And so we'd love to hear what you have to offer on that front. I'll end my little segment here with my safety tip, and that would be get on the resources tab and review the KSPs. I know you hear them all the time, but there's 15 of them. It's our playbook for avoiding accidents. You should have them memorized and apply them to your daily habits. But if you don't know them, you can't apply them. So get on the resources tab and refresh those with yourself and do your best to apply those to your daily driving habits. It'll do a lot to keep you injury free and safe.
Thank you, Shep. That is such a great message. I mentioned before I did the went out with Paul LeBay here recently, and he embodies these KSPs more than any driver probably I've ever seen. We have some amazing drivers, but what I observe from that is the way he drives, it basically eliminates almost all the risk that's out there. These are proven principles that you can reduce the risk and be safe and do your job appropriately and safely. And this stuff works, and I appreciate your message, Shep. And I love the concept of sharing a safety tip. So for each of our callers today, if you could lead off with your safe and on-time tip, that would be great. So let's go ahead and jump into the Q&A at this point. Darren, why don't you give some instructions, please?
Yeah, so if you are driving, obviously make sure you are hands-free. Do not have your phone in your hand. But if you can safely hit *5 on your phone, that will raise your hand on my screen. And then I will hit a button on the screen that will tell you to hit *6, and that will unmute you. Again, be safe if you're driving. Don't do anything unsafe. And if that means that we don't get your question here, email the road team, team@CRE Road Team, and we'll get your question to whoever it needs to go to, and we'll get you the answer. Zach has invoked the name of Paul LeBay a couple of times here, and he's on the call, so I'm going to click on Paul first. And Paul's going to hit *6. And hello. There we go. Hey, Paul.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep. You can. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mr. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I'm fighting this battle between safety and speed, you know. It's a tough battle. We may lose the battle, but we try to win the war. You know, just keep the courage up and don't just talk about and read the key safety principles. Live them. I call it being a shepherd, not a sheep. That means a leader, not a follower. Follow the rules that you know are right and safe. No matter what you see around you, what other drivers, what other people doing, it's tough being the shepherd, but that's what you want to be. You want to be a leader.
That's what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Paul. That was I love those words of wisdom there. And that's someone for everybody else on the call. That's someone that embodies this stuff. And man, it's awesome. Thank you, Paul. And do you have any further comments or?
Yeah. So what we're doing down here at Colton with the whole team, you know, Steve, Nick, Robert, Big Slice, all the other safety captains, we do safety ambassador down there. What I'm trying to do is just keep making safe angels, you know. That's the best weapon against speed and accidents and all that. If we produce better drivers, that lessens the accidents, the moving violations and all that stuff. We just got to train better. So mentors, let's do better, be more thorough, and don't teach any bad habits. You know, you don't do any bad habits, and don't teach any bad habits. It's difficult, but not impossible to be a safe driver. Everybody have a good day, and be safe angels out there.
Safe angels instead of speed demons. Love it. Thank you, Paul. Awesome message.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. You've impacted a lot of lives. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Next up is Alejandro. So, Alejandro, I'm going to click on you. Shh. should be telling you to hit star six, Alejandro, if you can safely. There we go. We got you.
Can you hear me?
Sure can. Yep. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Doing good. I'm excited to hear your safety tip.
Okay, safety tip. Safety tip, wear your shoes at all times and reflectors. It's will keep you safe. And I believe it's the best way to do it, be professional.
I totally agree. PPE, professionalism, safety, it all comes together.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Is this like a Q&A right now?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question for logs. My question is this. Do the pros and cons just apply for the company, or does it apply for the driver as well?
I had a hard time understanding. Does what apply to?
The pros and cons. I don't want to be specific, but let me be more. I'm going to explain myself. I ended up using a personal conveyance, and I'm on a dedicated fleet. I was at a shipper. I ran out of time, so I called logs. And I ran out of time, so they gave me the okay. So I'm supposed to go to a nearest safe haven. I did that. There was a rest stop on the way, and I didn't park there because it was full. So I proceeded forward, and went to another one. I went to a travel stop, and I shut it down after that. Did my post trip. Then I called and made a phone call back to laws, letting them know, hey, I'm getting a laws violation again right here. And I was told I was okay. And next thing you know, a couple of days later, I get a phone call talking about I have a hole. And what happened is that I guess I thought what I just explained to you guys, that what I just said. And they tell me, no, it says here that you did it. I'm like, well, I just explained to you what happened. And, well, the hole ain't going to go out, ain't gonna be lifted unless you edit your laws again and say you were driving. I'm like, well, if I do that, then I'm going to be on violation again. And that's the only way I was going to be able to get that hold off of me.
Yeah.
If I didn't edit my logs and say that I was driving again, which I already told them and explained to them what happened. But my understanding is that they're trying to say that GPS. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So if rest stop closed, what's the difference?
Yeah, let's appreciate the question. I think Brian Evans is going to jump on and respond there. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Alejandro, that's the difficult part with personal conveyance. Sometimes we're, you know, unable to park at the closest one. But I think from what I could read from your question is that it wasn't explicitly clear on what your responsibilities were. What I can do is I can have Angel Medrano, our logs manager, reach out to you and kind of see if he can answer some specific questions to you. The tough part with personal conveyance is that, you know, law enforcement uses that as a way to track what they call falsification of logs. And unfortunately, they only see what the logs are telling them. They don't necessarily understand. They don't have a way to go back and kind of track whether, you know, a specific site had room for you or not, or something to that effect. And so that's why it's tracked real closely by us, you know, so that we don't, one, put you as a driver in jeopardy of getting a logs violation or the company. So let me reach out to Angel and I'll have him contact you.
Okay.
And we can get you the right answer. I want to make sure that we address your concerns appropriately.
Okay. I talked to Angel about that already. My thing is that I already explained myself what happened, and they still want me to edit my logs, which puts me on violation. And that's the only way they're going to take the hole if I accept the what going back to that edit, which I know I did what was asked of me, what I needed to do. But they're trying to use GPS on me. I'm like, well, what the heck? I just told you I did this.
Sorry to jump in, but just in the interest of time, and you know, this is a very specific scenario. We'll follow up with you offline, like Brian was mentioning. I think, you know, what we're typically looking for is more general type questions, and this is very specific. So appreciate you calling in, appreciate your safety tip, and we'll be in touch with you soon to further discuss.
No problem.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
Up next, Paul Simon. Hit the button, Paul. You know what to do.
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, dude.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I got three things. One, for the safety tip, I just want to say that my safety tip is to use the bathroom as often as possible when available. It helps to reduce that sudden urge that causes drivers to want to drive recklessly to get to the bathroom. That's my biggest suggestion, and I use it every day.
I've been doing this a long time. That's the first time I've ever heard that particular tip, and I totally agree. I think it's a great one. Thank you, Paul.
No problem. Okay, so I've got two big things that I wanted to throw out there. One, I'm going to start with the actual issue that I've noticed. Is there any way that we can actually upgrade the systems for the gates at the Colton Yard? I understand that Bird's Eye is usually the people that handle all that stuff. However, it breaks down more often than it should. And because of the fact that it continues to break down, it does not seem like at the current moment it's operating the way that it should or having the effect that it should when they're having to open the gates and leave them open because of mechanical issues and so on and so forth. I'm wondering is if there's any way where we can get the system entirely upgraded so that way we have less issues going forward. And second, I was actually curious to know from all the different departments, what's one thing that you guys would love to see in a truck that is not readily available, but something that you guys in each department would feel would have a big impact for us drivers? Me personally, I would love to see bigger windows on our doors to help us actually see more of our blind sides, especially when Karen decides to come up on the minivan and sit next to us.
We love it. Let's first start out with the gates at the Colton Yard. Morris or Andy, go ahead. Morris, if you're trying to talk, you're on mute still. Or Andy. I guess Andy currently knows who to take it, yeah.
Yeah, so yes, there are some issues with age on that equipment in the Colton Yard. We are working with Bird's Eye to upgrade that equipment. That should happen hopefully in the next 3 months. We're also adding some other things there that may help when those gates are down may help some solutions, help create a solution that doesn't that cause that same type of delay. I know Morris is working on that stuff now. Probably, again, that's probably another month or two out. They've started some of that work, but it is not 100% complete. Yes, we are working to solve those issues, and we are aware that it's a problem, and it is age of equipment.
Okay, thank you, Andy. So, yeah, appreciate, Paul, you bringing that one up. As far as the second question goes, related to the specs, it's a pretty general type question, and I don't know if we're going to, open this up kind of for the roundtable or whatever, but I'll just say, as we look at specs, we do that on a regular basis. We're looking at kind of industry standards on the one hand. We're always prioritizing safety and driver comfort, and then making the best decisions we can. And obviously there's financial limitations it's a very small margin business. So we need to be responsible in making those decisions. And so, so we look at those very carefully over the years, and I'm proud and excited of kind of the process and the progress we've made over the years on this, with just continual improvements, and it will continue to be that way. I know Ron Hall, VP of Equipment and Fuel, has some thoughts on this too. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I just want everyone to know that when we look at a new spec, we actually drive sample versions of that, and we generally visit the factory that they're being built. And I'll give you an example. We want to make sure that we're not getting into something that just doesn't work. When Mack brought out their Anthem product, we bought one of the Anthems to fuel economy test. And I climbed into that truck and instantly realized it's made for people well under 6 foot. A 6 foot person just doesn't fit, because you can't see around the mirrors. When you look sideways at a stop, you just can't see around the mirrors. Just the configuration. Another example of that, we brought in, and I don't think we ever really intended on going with any kind of volume here, but we brought in an international Lone Star just to see if it might be a valid truck for maybe some high seniority drivers. And I was driving that truck from the dealership into the yard and missed the turn because the turning radius on that truck was so wide, ridiculously wide. I actually had to do a point turn to get it into the yard, which I was just used to the turning radius on a Freightliner. So I just want you to know we do get personally involved in testing our trucks, in watching them go down the production line, making sure that that we're not going to put something in the fleet that doesn't work. And we have a number of drivers that we get put behind the wheel on new trucks to give us feedback as well. So I just want everyone to know we really go through a vetting process when we bring new equipment in. And if others on the call want to be part of that process, we're happy to include others as well. So.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. You mentioned the Mack and the 6 foot thing. It's a good thing that I wasn't the one testing that, or else it would have felt perfect to me. But for the overall driver force, that would have been a problem for many of us. But anyway, Paul, appreciate the questions and comments as always. Have a good day, man.
Thanks, Paul. Up next is Rob Carter. On camera, look at that. Get in there, Rob. Unmute.
Hi,
there you go.
Hi. How you guys doing today? Hey, I'm here out here in Baltimore. It's just been a heck of an experience out here, dealing with the new personalities, the stores, the vendors, working with Taylor Daniels, Tyler Harris, Albert Lai, Jose Medina, Nick Kittler out here, trying to get safety across the board. Well, my safety tip of today is please do your pre-trip inspection. It's preventive maintenance. We're trying to catch the problem before we put it out there on the road. That's all I have.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you for being a road team captain and for all your work as a safety ambassador before on the SoCal fleet and everything, and out there in Baltimore making it happen. Awesome.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. See you, Rob. Oh, Darren, you're muted.
Thank you. Ricardo, you're up next. I'm clicking on you. Hit star six if you can, Ricardo. If you're in a weak cell phone spot now, it may not go through. So we may have to go to the next person here. Let's try that. Next up is Harold White. Harold, I'm going to click on you. There we go. We got you, Harold.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Harold.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, ladies of the panel. I am pleased to reach you guys. Finally, I've been trying for quite some time, but I'm pleased that I'm here now. And my safety tip is always keep your eyes at least a quarter mile down the road ahead of you so that you can see what several vehicles ahead of you are doing, if they're tapping their brakes, and you're getting your mind set to tap yours to keep the safety distance that CR England appeals to us to do.
Appreciate that tip. Totally agree as well. I mean, man, again, like Aaron mentioned, we get so many great tips from the people out there doing it, and this fits as well. Thank you. What are your thoughts, Harold?
My thoughts, this time I would like to ask about, I'm on the East Coast dedicated fleet, and sometimes we go through these tunnels, 13-6 tunnels, and we notice that some of our trailers have those clicks at the top of them near their rear door. And I noticed that because those clicks are there, making us seems like we're more than 13-6. We can't get routed through those tunnels. We get rerouted, which adds about an hour and a half to one of our routes that we go on. And you have to come back after going there and getting turned around. You're driving an hour and a half, and then you now have to drive back an hour and a half just to come back to the starting place because those clips at the top of the trailer makes it look like you're over 13-6. I'm asking, is there any way to, that we can manufacture, ask them not to put those clips on there? I see them on other companies also, and I just was just wondering how those trailers with those extra clips come onto our company, and how can we get them out of our fleet so that we can take the shorter route rather than the longer route that brings us into a lot of traffic. And I'm talking about a lot of traffic.
Yep. Yeah, you're dealing with it back east for sure. Great question, Harold. Let's go back to Ron.
Yeah, those clips are called the top kit. And those are aerodynamic devices that are supposed to improve our fuel economy. There's a lot of turbulent air behind the trailer that negatively affects fuel economy. We tried those on 300 to 400 trailers, and they were not as durable as they needed to be for us to continue putting those on trailers. So we no longer spec those on our equipment. And when something happens to those, we actually pull them and don't replace them. So if there's damage that's caused by that to them, we actually don't replace them. So I understand you might be struggling with some with a handful of our trailers that have those. Just so everyone knows, the top piece that you're concerned about sticks up about a quarter to 3/8 of an inch above the roof, where it mounts to the roof. And then there is a taller trailing piece, but that trailing piece is hollow and will flex. So as long as you clear the lip the trailing piece can actually flex and go flat up against the roof of the trailer. Again, not a not an item that worked out. We did it for fuel economy testing, did not prove to be as durable as we needed, and we no longer spec it.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen because, yeah, trying to go through those tunnels that are exactly 13 feet over here in Virginia and Maryland area, it's not good, especially when a brand new driver comes on and they're following the route given by the tablet and it wants to take you through those tunnels. And me being one of the more experienced drivers know when I go to this pickup place to go the long route and go down I-95. But our newer drivers, they get the route and they see come up on the GPS and they're ready to go. And they go down there, and then I get the phone call because I'm one of the mentors. And I get the phone call, hey, can you help me? I've been turned back around because the officer says my trailer won't fit in this 13-6. And then I have to help them, and they come back losing all that drive time, 3.5 to 4 hours, depending on the traffic. So that's why I was asking, how can we get those off the fleet?
Only about 5% of our trailers have them.
Yep.
Okay. And so,
yeah, good question, Harold. Appreciate it. Just shout out to Harold, by the way. He hired over 11 years ago on with CR England and has helped feed over 1,400 children through all the great work. So, Harold, you're the man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Harold. Okay, let's go back to Ricardo from Dallas Intermodal. Let's try this again. Ricardo, if you can hit *6, it will unmute you. Here we go.
*6, can you hear me?
Yep.
We got you, Ricardo.
Hello, Ricardo.
Good day, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys taking the opportunity. And I really enjoy the town halls. I'd necessarily be, because everybody got good safety tips, but I'm kind of like the gentleman that began. I believe in declaring things personally. So before I get behind the wheel, I'll be telling myself, hey, safety for speed, pressure and convenience. I will inspect my equipment, control my speed, protect the following distance, and remain aware of everything in my truck. It's all about getting home to your family, being responsible with the equipment that you guys have blessed us with, and not trying to have any harm to anybody. So that's what I believe in, and it's helped me for the past 20-some years. So
my question is, all the time.
Yeah, man, I believe in speaking things, and you speak things, they'll come into existence, just like anything else. If, you know, speak it into existence, and it's a pattern, it's a mindset, it's a mentality, it's all the above. But my question is I recently had a death in my family, and I know we always been going through the bereavement stuff, but I know we get 3 days off, and that's appreciated, but the lack of pay, and I was trying to figure out if there's any way that we've even discussed this, or what's the mindset in regard to at least compensating if you have shown and you show the burial certificate or the obituary or whatever. What's the mindset behind that?
Yeah, great question. I will say, first off, sorry for your loss. You've experienced that, and wish you all the best. I think this is one where historically, and if there's anybody else on the team that wants to jump in too, we'd love to hear you. But historically, we've looked at this and tried to be, you know, competitive with the industry and fair to our team members, and the policy. You know, we've settled on this policy. Not to say that we can't ever reassess or readdress the approach there, but that's kind of how we have gone about that, making that decision. I don't know, Darren, from an HR perspective, or anybody else, if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm spotlighting Loretta, because I think she has probably some experience with this. If you want to jump in, Loretta. Loretta is our director of HR.
Yes, sir.
Jump in.
Hi, Ricardo. Is this Ricardo,
how you doing,
right?
Ms. Loretta.
I'm doing, yes, well. I am, once again, we are very sorry for your loss, and we have a lot of compassion and empathy for you. And based on the company review of the bereavement process, drivers actually have 5 days of bereavement leave. And if they need to take their vacation, they are welcome to use that. But based on a business decision, that's why we do not have paid bereavement.
Okay. And it's not the problem of the days, because I have an awesome DM and Ms. Jaden and great leaders as far as Eddie and Mr. Brandon is concerned. That and their compassion and their concern is always visible in anything that we need. But it seemed like you're already dealing with your loss, then say if you don't have your days available to you as far as PTO days or whatever, it's compound. And of course you want to be where you need to be, but it seemed like it's just a double whammy because you already got lost. And if you don't have your days that you at your disposal, then it's you're losing out in that area as well as far as compensation. Just something that I wanted to throw out there and see what the post was.
Yep. No, appreciate your feedback there, Ricardo, and wish you the best.
Roger that. Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day.
See you.
Thanks, Ricardo. Appreciate you. Okay. Vinod is up next. Frequent caller. How you doing, Vinod? We got you.
Kind of, I'm hesitate to ask. It was about the pay check, but I want to skip because I don't feel comfortable to make the, because of the economy situation. So I don't want to ask the question. So I'm going to skip
okay.
the spot, give it to some. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Vinod.
I'll follow up with you, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. After that, we've got Johnny Karnofsky coming in here. Clicking on you, Johnny. I think we got you, Johnny.
My safety and preparedness tip has a related question to it. Typically around May, I pull my chains off and inspect them, determine if I need to get any replacement made so I can make arrangements to get through to a facility. Because there's nothing like realizing you're stuck on a mountain and you realize you're short a chain or you got one that's damaged and you got to buy a set.
It's so such another tremendous tip. We don't really talk about that one very much either, but you talk about being proactive and from a preventative standpoint and just putting yourself in a great position. Awesome tip. Yeah, I hope everybody else takes that into account.
That way we've cut off at the pass the need to buy a chain on the road or get stuck with a fine somewhere like in Colorado. My related question, my last company was based in Minnesota. And what they did is they installed heated wiper blades on all the trucks. So wiper blades that would get collected with snow and ice aren't useless because they're not collected. Can we consider that in the future?
Let's go to Ron on that. Is that, Ron, is that something that we have explored in the past?
To be frank, I've never heard of that option. Are those wiper blades, do you have to have that option up front when you build the truck, or is it a retrofit? Do you know?
Well, I know of a couple of companies that make aftermarket ones. They just got to determine the right length that would be needed. They're fitted with a heating element in the blade that heats that generates just enough heat when it gets cold enough to not make it so the snow and ice collect on the blades. Not a lot, but just enough to melt the ice and snow away so we can see where the fuck we're going. Pardon my language.
I'll be asking our OEMs what their options are in that regard.
Now, yeah, let's look into that. Dan Flanagan, Johnny, sorry.
Go ahead.
I know Dan Flanagan has some thoughts on this. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, you know, at first I thought you were talking about the blades where they have the covers. You ever see the blades that have the covers over the backside? There's like a membrane that goes, that covers the backside. It keeps the snow and ice from getting into the blade. But I've also heard about the blades that heat up. But we can, Ron and I will take a look at those. I've heard of those that do heat up. I've also heard good and bad. There's different manufacturers out there. And this is a good time to talk about it because, like Zach says, it's a good time to talk about it now for the upcoming winter that's going to come, this season that's coming up. So we'll take a look at those. But also, it made me think of the blades that have the back cover that keep ice and snow from getting into the blade itself too. So Johnny, that's a good one. We'll take a look at that on both of those blades, and we'll see what we can come up with. Thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Now, I have another question. When I happen to be stuck somewhere for whatever reason, whether it's I need a 34, or if I'm stuck for waiting for repairs, or behind a closed road, or a holiday weekend behind loads, whatever. That's when I typically like to do my housekeeping type stuff, my laundry, my cleaning up the truck, organizing the truck, and something else I really like to do. Quite frankly, I like to be 10 again. I'm building a replica model of the Knight Rider car. I like to be able to find a place where I can sit down and zone out to the world and be 10 again, enjoy memories of similar projects with my dad. At Salt Lake, we don't have that, and plus when I want to do laundry, so some of the machines don't even work. Can we look at that?
Hey, so cool on the Knight Rider replica. That sounds awesome. But let's talk about
it's actually really relaxing.
What's that?
It's actually really relaxing. And I get to enjoy memories of similar projects with my dad when I was 10.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. We each have our thing, right? Yeah, that's great. Let's kick it back over to Andy on the Salt Lake facility question.
Hey, thanks for everything you're doing. Washer machines they take a lot of beating here. So we try to actively stay on top of those. I know there was an incident probably 3 weeks ago where we had several that were down at the same time. We have gone through and repaired the majority of those. There are three or four that we're looking at a replacement for. We try to get in there at least once a week, to check those machines. And we also rely on security to let us know that those are down, and they do a fairly good job of that. But I think that we've got most of them up and running now. The last time I was in there, which was Friday, the majority of them seem to be up. When I say that, those three that we're looking at replacing were still down.
can we turn over the day-to-day management to a company like CSC Pay or CoinMac that would operate the machines like they would operate at the apartment complex, that they would run the maintenance and repairs and all that stuff?
Yeah, we actually are testing something like that down in Laredo right now. We have a vendor down there that's going to service those washers down there, similar to what you're saying. And if that vets out well, that's an option we're going to look at both here and in Colton.
At least I would take it off our plate.
Correct.
But can we get a lounge area at the Salt Lake facility where I can sit at a table and zone out?
Well, there's a table in there, but it's not necessarily for zoning out. It's for folding your laundry. But I'm not going to stop you from zoning out there.
There's a couple of rooms that are basically empty that we can put a table and chair area that are basically being unused. That's what I see.
We're actually in the process of doing some makeover work down there. So you'll start to see some things that are going to change, and there'll be some more spaces available for drivers.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I got to get off my chest. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, man. Thanks.
Okay. Last question goes to Mr. Ken Wood. He used to have a Ken Wood stereo back in the day. Those were cool.
I'm sure
when I was watching Knight Rider. What's up, Ken?
Good. Thank you. I guess my safety tip is all the million milers are right when they say you should do this or that. We should listen to everybody on safety tips. And I guess my specific one is I turn off all electronic devices for the first 30 minutes I drive and focus on driving. And then just kind of take it from there. I guess that's my safety tip.
Remove all distractions. Makes sense to me. Yeah, haven't heard that one either. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah. I was just wondering, mattresses in the truck, with your guys' buying power, is there any way you guys could leverage possibly the driver getting a discount on an upgraded mattress?
That's Dan, I think that would be you, right? Or is that a Ron question?
No, Ron don't buy mattresses.
Ron, yeah.
He would know what to buy. It looks like it looks like I don't know what to buy either. But we do bounce around a bit, and it's funny because I just got an email from Josh England. Of a seller of mattresses. We get vendors all the time selling us mattresses, and we go back and forth and we try them out. We don't always buy the cheapest. We try to buy a comfortable mattress. It's just like we don't buy the cheapest seats. We try to make sure the driver is comfortable when he's driving the truck and when the driver is sleeping in the bunk. The driver's got to get a good night's sleep. So I worked with Jay. He's our corporate buyer, and we do look for the best mattress that we can buy at the best price. So the replacement mattresses that we do put in and when we do replace them are typically better than the mattresses that come with the equipment. Now, again, let me reiterate, there is, and I can have Ron say this, but I think there is a different levels of mattresses that Ron can go with and or we can spec without mattresses and put our own in. But again, let me get with Ron to see when we buy the new trucks, what level of mattress we can get in. But it's very important, Ken, that we do look at what mattress we put in these trucks. Again, we want to make sure that the driver is getting the best sleep he possibly can. And we want to make sure that we are getting the best mattress. If you've got a mattress that you're uncomfortable with, bring that truck in and we will replace that mattress. Do not sleep on a mattress that is uncomfortable that you cannot sleep in. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. And I'll just add to that. It's really hard, just personal preference on something like mattresses, where so many people have different opinions. We're doing the best we can. I like Dan's thoughts. I know others have added small pads and things on top of the mattress that may be a good solution too. But appreciate the question, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and thanks, that Ken. Takes us to the end of the town hall. We had some great comments, some unique, really creative suggestions and thoughts. And let's just keep on doing our thing and be safe and on time every time. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.